Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Fire snakes were loose in the camp of Israel, slithering all over the place, hiding in dark corners, slipping in through tent doors and into sleeping bags. Venomous and deadly, people were dying all over the camp of Israel. The Lord sent those snakes. They were his judgment over the grumbling of a faithless and ungrateful people. Ungrateful for the bread that fell from heaven, the manna that fell every day but Saturday, and there was enough on Friday to cover Saturday, and for the fresh water that flowed from the stricken rock. They despised the Lord's food, the Lord's drink, the Lord's word. They despised the Lord. They despised their freedom, and they wanted to return to slavery in Egypt, and so God sent snakes. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, the people came crawling to Moses with their confession. "We have sinned," they said, "when we spoke against the Lord and against you." That's a good start. Confession is always a good start. When you are snake-bitten, tell the truth. Admit your sin. Stop trying to cover it up. Stop trying to justify yourself. "We have sinned against the Lord and against one another and against the Lord's servant, in thought, in word, in deed, by things done, by things left undone." You may as well admit it and stop trying to deny it. The sting of death is all around you. Don't pretend it isn't there and you don't know why. Don't blame everyone around you. Own it. The Lord sent the deadly snakes into the camp of Israel to drive his people to repentance, to save them. And don't think he doesn't do the same with us, his church, and with those who despise that living bread from heaven and that drink that flows from the cross. To the Corinthians, Paul writes, "Some of you have become sick and some have even died as the result of the way you approach the supper of the Lord." They prayed to Moses for intercession. "Pray the Lord to take the snakes away from us." The Lord sent them. He alone can take them away. Moses, as a picture of Christ, stands between Israel and God, a mediator, a go-between. Notice they don't speak straight to Yahweh. They go through his designated intermediate, Moses, who stands in the breach. He prays to God for the people about the deadly snakes that God had sent. And notice, too, that the Lord doesn't simply take away the snakes, as they had asked. That would have been the easy solution. Instead, he provides a cure, an anti-venom, a sacrament. Karen and I took a tour of the Long Beach Aquarium on Monday night. It's one of those special behind-the-scenes tour for members where you can kind of look at the part you can't see from the general public. And it was after public hours, and so the place was really quiet, and you could get up close to the exhibits and actually see things and read the stuff around it rather than just tripping over people all over. So it was really nice. They have a display of tropical water snakes. I forgot their name there. They're very beautiful. They're black and they're silver banded. Beautiful, beautiful snakes. They are also the most deadly snake in the world, or among the most deadly. They are so deadly that only two members of the aquarium staff have keys to get into the exhibit, lest somebody get the bright idea of letting these snakes loose. And they keep a supply of anti-venom, at St. Mary's Hospital in Long Beach, just in case. The antivenom for the fire snakes of the camp of Israel was a sacramental sign instituted by God with a word of promise. God told Moses, make a fiery serpent, make an image, a model of this thing, and set it up on a pole and raise it up. And everyone who is bitten, when he looks on this image, will live. It's a material object, an image with the promise of God attached to it. Look on this bronze serpent on a stick, and you will live. You will survive the venomous snake bites. That's how it worked. Everyone who looked at the bronze serpent lived. It was the anti-venom for those fire snakes. Now, you might wonder, how can a bronze serpent do such great things? It's kind of a Lutheran question. It sounds like something straight out of the catechism, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. It's not the bronze serpent, indeed, that does these things, but the word of promise that God has attached to that snake on a stick. It's not the bronze, nor is it really the image, although if Moses had fashioned it into the image of a mouse or a chipmunk, that wouldn't have worked. God said, a serpent. So you make a serpent. You don't mess with the Lord's signs. You do what he tells you and what he institutes. And it was this bronze serpent, a cure that resembled the disease itself, that held the promise of God's word attached to it, that whoever looked on that thing would live. Now, suppose you were an Israelite, and your best friend or your relative is lying on the ground, twitching, writhing in agony, foaming at the mouth, bitten by one of these fire snakes that had been sent by God into the camp of Israel. What would you do knowing what you know? Would you say, oh, dear friend, pray this prayer for the snake bitten and everything will work out fine? No. You wouldn't say, get your life right with the Lord and the Lord will take care of you, right? No. You would say, lift up your eyes and look. Look on this thing, this image of the very thing that bit you. This serpent on the pole. Behold the serpent of the Lord. Look on this thing and live. Suppose you yourself had been snake bitten and survived because somebody did the same thing for you, grabbed you by the hair and bolted your eyes onto that image, that ugly image. You looked on that hideous serpent and you survived. Do you suppose that you might be eager to tell your fellow Israelites about the serpent on the pole? And make sure they looked? Would you worry about offending their religious sensitivities or not respecting their belief systems or even pushing on their fear of snakes? Ooh, I don't like snakes. I don't like looking at that. Look on it! God says so. No, of course not. You wouldn't take no for an answer. You couldn't take no for an answer. Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller, that quirky magic act in Las Vegas, recorded a video on his home computer that was all the rage a couple of months ago on the internet. Someone in our congregation alerted me to it. Penn is an avowed atheist, and he's fairly outspoken about it. He incorporates his atheism into his magic act, and he is utterly merciless about his criticism of religion in general and Christianity in particular. But there was an incident after one of his shows that really rattled him to the core. And he made a little video about it the next morning. I mentioned it in Bible class a few months ago. Apparently, a man came up to Penn Jillette after a show, and he handed him one of those little pocket New Testaments with the Psalms that the Gideons hand out. And all the man said to Penn was something like this. What's in this book is very, very important to me and something that I believe very deeply. And I think that you ought to take another look at this for yourself before you pass judgment on Christianity. He wasn't aggressive about it. He wasn't hostile. He was just very honest and genuine and plain. And it genuinely impressed Penn Jillette, the atheist. And he said this in his homemade video. This is the sentence. He says, I do not respect people who do not proselytize. Who'd ever thought you'd hear that from an atheist? I do not respect people who don't proselytize. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and that people could be going to hell, and you think, well, it's really not worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize? That's coming from a diehard atheist. Does it make you think? It made me think long and hard. It made me wonder whether I, too, in some apathetic sort of way, hate my neighbor because I won't tell him about the antidote to eternal damnation. It made me repent, too. Imagine knowing about the bronze serpent. Imagine being cured yourself from snake bite and not telling anybody else about it. Watching other people die and you know the solution. How much do you have to hate someone not to proselytize? I bet you never expected to hear that sort of thing from the mouth of an atheist. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that through him the world might be saved. Humanity is snake-bitten, includes you and me. It's been that way since Adam and Eve listened to the serpent in Genesis 3. We are born snake-bitten, dead with the venom of the law that's coursing through our veins. The sting of death is sin, Paul says, and the power, the venom of sin, what makes it so deadly is the law that kills the sinner. That's our condition from the greatest to the least, from the oldest to the youngest. But God has provided a cure that looks curiously like the diseased. His Son, pinned to a cross, dying a damned death, the cursed man. He looks damned by God, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He is in our place, and he is for all of us and for our salvation. This is how God loves this snake-bitten world. He doesn't simply love it abstractly and in general. Oh, nice world, I love you. No, he loves the world in a very specific way, and only in this way. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, true God of his Father, true man of his mother, born of woman, born under the law, to take the sting of death and become for the world the anti-venom for snake-bitten humanity. The Father didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, although sometimes you wouldn't know it for listening to Christians, but to be condemned for the world. His condemnation is our acquittal. His death is our life. He came to be judged, one man for all men, one human being for all humanity. He came to be lifted up, and in being lifted up to draw all to himself into his death, as in the one man Adam all sinned and all die and all are condemned, so in the one man, the second Adam, Jesus the Christ, all are forgiven, all are justified, and all live. As Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so the Father has lifted up his Son on the cross, that whoever looks on him in faith, trusting that the bleeding, broken, dying man on the cross is his life and forgiveness and salvation, has eternal life. Can you imagine how precious that anti-venom at St. Mary's Hospital in Long Beach is? Especially if you reached into that display and got bitten by one of those beautiful, poisonous snakes. Imagine how grateful you would be that that anti-venom is there. How much more precious the good news, the gospel of free forgiveness, of eternal life, of salvation to an undeserved sinner. You've received it. You know what I'm speaking about. You know how they make antivenom? They inject the poison from a snake into a horse or a goat. Let's substitute a lamb for dramatic effect, huh? And then as the animal builds up immunity, its antibodies are collected, and there's your antivenom. In other words, it comes from one who has survived the poison. Christ became sin for us, though he himself had no sin. Christ was damned for us, though he was the and is the beloved Son of God. He died on the accursed tree of the cross. He took the venom of sin with the full power of the law, everything. And he took it to the grave in his death, and he rose triumphantly over sin and death and the law. He survived the sting of death for us. And he provides that anti-venom here. Here in baptism, here in the word of forgiveness, here in the body and the blood, the very death and life of Jesus, whose body and blood were given into death and were raised from the dead to become the anti-venom of sin and the law, the very, what the ancients called the medicine of immortality, the medicine of eternal life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Look on this man, this Son of God, this Savior, and live. Point others to him that they may live in him too. The sting of death is sin. The venom of sin is the law. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the victory in his dying and in his rising. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.